Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is the central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreviewed.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website there. There are also links to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much to the few who support me. You'll remember that a couple of weeks ago, I put out a video saying that blacks had attacked whites in two small towns. Those towns were Cullini and Lichtenberg. And the worst violence occurred in Cullini. At the time, I didn't have any contacts in Cullini, and it's only recently that I've managed to get actual information on the ground directly from Cullini and Lichtenberg. So I'm going to focus in this set of videos on Cullini, because there's so much that happened and you haven't heard the full story. The mass media, as usual, isn't doing its full job. And the story is so twisted that whites are depicted as the evil ones, and they are leaving out all sorts of important facts. It is a case of lying by omission. Furthermore, the behavior of the police in the town of Cullini is something that people don't discuss, and that too is a big story. But as I suspected all along, this stuff in Cullini was politically motivated, and Cullini and Lichtenberg are in the Northwest Province, and in the Northwest Province, who has got a big powerful following there? None other than the black racist communist Julius Malema, who started that political party, the EFF. Now, the EFF stands for the Economic Freedom Front. And that's just a nice name for hiding the fact that Julius Malema is a full-on communist, and he wants full communism in this country. He wants to seize everything. But this same Julius Malema, he also has skeletons in his closet that he's hiding. And this same Julius Malema, who's going after the whites like crazy, he has got Jewish links. And we'll get back to this Julius Malema and the money he's getting from the Jews. Now, from what I've been picking up so far, it is becoming evident that this thing is totally orchestrated. This whole business in Cullini is totally orchestrated. There is no issue there. There never was an issue there. This issue has been created out of nothing. And the mass media, like the police, have been up to no good. In fact, there are some shocking things about the mass media that you aren't being told with regard to Cullini. Those mass media who go out there and do the reporting, well, wait until you hear what the mass media was up to. All those TV cameras and all those people from the different TV stations, you won't believe what they were up to. So what I'm going to do is break this thing into several parts, because there's many different events that took place and all sorts of interesting things to focus on. And also in this same Kulini, the blacks do not want justice to take place. The blacks already are trying to frame the whites, and they are succeeding at this. And that in itself is another story. There are so many despicable and disgusting things going on in Kulini. And of course, the mass media and the political parties, nobody is telling the full story. But the bottom line is that it appears to me, this Julius Malema, who's been in trouble for years, and who's been inciting open genocide of white people, this same Julius Malema is closely linked to all this violence that's going down in Kulini. And it turns out that this Julius Malema is pitching up in that town and in that area and having political rallies. And after every political rally, there is a new outbreak of violence. So it seems to me that this Julius Malema is going there and inciting racial hatred, inciting blacks to attack, and then the blacks go and they start trouble. And this guy's been doing this continuously, and nobody seems to be taking notice of this. In fact, the level of control that his followers have in the town of Kulini will shock you. Now, among the things going on in Kulini, when I look at this story and I've been piecing it together with people who are there, let me say this. Everything that's going down in Kulini is a rerun of exactly the same ANC tactics that the ANC, the current government of South Africa, the African National Congress, their same tactics that they used against the whites in the time of apartheid, when they were trying to destabilize the country and make it, quotes, ungovernable. That is exactly what is going down in Kulini. You can see the same old pattern. And I saw this in the days when I was living here in Johannesburg and even at some of the places I worked. At one time, I worked for a pharmaceutical wholesaler, and that pharmaceutical wholesaler had a lot of communist activity going on there. And that pharmaceutical wholesaler had lots of violence going down and plenty of trouble, and it carried on month in and month out. And I got to befriend various managers, and I sat in a place where they would often go past on their way to meetings with these blacks, and I saw how these things worked. And what they did was they'd come up with an incident, and the incident would be something. Some white guy did something to some black, maybe a supervisor did something, and this becomes now issue number one. Then what happens is, while they're busy trying to resolve issue number one, you'll see within a couple of days that suddenly out of issue number one pops issue number two. And then it'll be, yes, but that guy then went and did this and this and this, and because of this, such and such happened. And then the next thing you know, a week or two later, out comes issue number 3 and 4 and 5. And so it goes on, week after week. Eventually, after a month or two, you find that there are 12 different issues on the table, and all of these are problems, and this thing led to that thing, which led to the other thing, which led to another thing, and so it goes on. And you find that first it's this person involved, then that person. But all of these things are staged and invented. They are staged and invented and lied about and twisted and so forth. So eventually, after a couple of months, there's so much trouble that's come out of this. And then, of course, because let's say the first 5 issues have not been resolved, then the staff all go on strike. So now there's a strike and nobody wants to work now because these other issues are a problem. And all sorts of things happen, and the one thing leads to another thing. And the whole process is utterly malicious, and it's totally invented. But in the process of inventing and twisting and so forth, there does come a time where people lose their tempers, and then somebody makes a mistake. Somebody in management or some supervisor makes a mistake. Then that also gets added onto this thing. And all that's happening, and the whole purpose of this, is to mess with the functioning of the company, to hurt it, and to make it back down on various things. And so through all this screaming and howling and complaining and whining and lodging of complaints and then meeting to resolve it and then not being able to resolve it and new things popping up, all of this stuff is designed with only one goal in mind. And that goal is to put the company under stress, and then the management will concede certain points. So it's a malicious process. It's totally disingenuous, and it's utterly cunning and calculated. And that is the whole story of Kulini. All this stuff about the farmers who murdered the blacks and all that. I will tell you what the autopsy shows and what actually happened. And I got to tell you, these blacks can be very good actors and very good liars when they need to be. And this thing is so focused on the whites that even when blacks openly talk about killing the whites, and even when that is on camera, nothing happens. Everything from top to bottom is focused on the whites and the whites only. And all the other actors, no matter what they do, no matter what threats they make, no matter what they do and what evidence there is, you don't see anybody prosecuting Julius Malema. You don't see any of these blacks who make open threats to kill whites. You don't see anything happening to them. These blacks who went and tore up the shops, and even the police and their activities, none of this is being scrutinized. None of it's being watched. The blacks are getting away with absolutely everything. And I'm going to show you some of what has come to light. And when I look at what these blacks are doing and the way they are doing this, and they are doing it over the internet, the evidence is there, and a lot of this is provable. When I look at this, I see not only a rerun of the malicious ANC tactics of the 1980s, but it seems to me they are testing out different tactics. And you can see that they're testing things out and trying different things. And it's not the ANC that's behind it. It's Julius Malema and the EFF that's behind this. It's the EFF that is busy with all sorts of things. And the EFF is working hand in glove with the mass media of South Africa, including all the TV stations. They are all working in cahoots with him. He's doing things, and they are all going there and playing their game. There are things that nobody's telling you. And F.W. de Klerk's AFRI Forum, as well as the Freedom Front, were involved in all this. And none of them are coming out and telling you the full story in defense of the whites. So sit back and watch the various videos that I'm going to put out. Then you're going to start getting a feel for what the hell is happening in that area. And it looks to me as if Kulini and Lichtenberg is where Julius Malema is trying out to start a race war. And he's engaging in all kinds of malicious activity that's meant to destroy the property of whites, that's meant to threaten their lives. And nobody is doing anything about it. And it's right there in your face. In fact, in recent days, they even kidnapped a senior official in Lichtenberg, and they were busy doing other things. There's a lot of really violent stuff going down, and it's only going down in that area, and the EFF is present in that area, and the EFF's support base is in that area, and Julius Malema is there. So nobody is pointing out that Julius Malema and the EFF are behind all of this violence. Nobody is pointing it out and nobody is doing anything about it. As usual, Julius Malema gets away with everything. This guy is trying to start a racial conflict and he's testing out his tactics. And he's carrying it out in those very regions. And those two innocent white men might end up in jail. The way things are going, those white guys might end up in jail. Even though every piece of evidence exonerates them. And I'll discuss that. So thanks very much for listening. I'll see you in the next video. The film footage you're watching is the CCTV film footage from when the blacks went and they broke into the Kulini Hotel. They broke into it and they went and they looted it. Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is the central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreviewed.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website there. There are also links to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much to the few who support me. Now let's take a look at how the violence was organized on the first day of the violence. As I've said to you before, violence does not happen by itself. Maybe in past history it used to happen that way, where violence would just come when people got angry. But mostly these days, violence is orchestrated. People don't go out and do stuff unless someone comes to push them to do it. It is extremely rare for people to just get violently angry in a group and do things. And this is one of the great myths of Southern Africa that's been created over the last few decades by the communists, the liberals, the Jews, the blacks, the lying mass media. They come and pretend that these things just happened all by themselves. Just like they pretended a few weeks ago that masses of people went into the streets across South Africa just by accident. All these things are orchestrated, and in the case of Kulini, you'll see some interesting things that they left out that they didn't tell you. So as I mentioned in the last video, since they now believed the rumors, these rumors that had spread so maliciously, so now these blacks were going to the police and saying that they are going to protest this, that these white guys must be charged. So the whites, on hearing about this, and this includes the owner of that farm, upon hearing about this protest march, they went to the police. And they said, listen, we hear that there's going to be a march or a riot or something like that. Are you going to protect us, and are you going to be able to protect our property? And the police said, no, there are too many people, so we won't be able to help you. But don't worry, they're just going to march. Everything's going to be okay. And as I've mentioned before, the police force in Kulini is 15 black police. So on the day of this protest march, everything started out peacefully. There were blacks who came in and they did their protest march. There were a couple of kids and everything was quiet. But then something very strange happened. These protesters then went off to all the black schools in the area. And they went and they invaded these black schools. And they stopped the schools. And they got hold of all the young black kids. And they brought them out and forced them to join this march. So they stopped all these schools and they put these young blacks in the front of their march, and then they went on, and now they marched with these kids. I think in total there were approximately 300 people now involved in this march, because they'd gone to grab all the school kids. So you have to ask yourself, how is it that people can just walk into a school, stop the classes, grab hold of all the children, and march them out into the street and force them to take part in this protest? How does this happen? Is there nobody that stops this? Why do the school and the police allow something like this to happen? That you just come and grab the children, stop several schools, and go and force them to take part in this. And now it gets more interesting. Guess who opened the court case against the white farmers, none other than the Economic Freedom Front, Julius Malema's political party. They are the ones who opened the case against the two farmers. But nobody's asking the question, is the Economic Freedom Front orchestrating all of this? Isn't the EFF actually orchestrating the whole thing and doing all these things, getting these blacks to engage in these protests? Nobody seems to be asking that question, and nobody seems to be investigating, which is pretty normal for South Africa. So in total, more than 300 people were busy with the protest on that day when it got violent. So now when they were marching and they had all these children, all of a sudden, out of the blue, they begin throwing rocks at all the windows. And they're busy marching down the main street of Kulini, which is called Voortrekker Street. And they broke literally every window in every building for no reason whatsoever. Then they began stealing. They went into the shops and they started stealing everything. And they literally emptied those shops out. There was nothing in them. So now think about this. They've broken all the windows and they've been stealing the stores empty. But the police have done absolutely nothing. The police have done nothing at all to stop them or to arrest anybody. They've done nothing. Now the white farmers had been coming into the town because of the things that they'd been hearing. And the white farmers were watching what was going on. And the white farmers reported that they saw the police taking a case of Black Label beer and putting it into somebody's private vehicle. So while the blacks were looting, it seems some of the police were also assisting in the looting. And it gets even more interesting. While these whites, the farmers, the Boers, were there watching all this looting going on, the police came to them and said to them, "Stay away from this. Don't involve yourself in this." So basically, the police allowed the looting to continue. They themselves were doing absolutely nothing about it, and they were telling the whites to keep their noses out of it. Now this looting continued on until about 6 o'clock in the evening, when the looters decided to now leave town. So during all this time, the police had done absolutely nothing to stop the looting. They hadn't even fired one rubber bullet. So later that night, the protesters came back and they stole whatever was left. So later that evening, these blacks started talking about burning down the white people's houses. And the farmers who'd come in, the farmers realized that they have to start protecting these people. So a group of about 20 to 30 farmers with their guns and with their pickup trucks came and they started patrolling the town. So when these protesters had come back, the farmers wanted to go in and sort them out. And the police stopped them. The police refused to allow the farmers to go in and sort out these blacks. And then the blacks really went wild. That's when they tore up the rest of the town. And among the remaining businesses that the blacks totally wiped out were four liquor stores. The blacks stole and smashed up everything else in any business that they could lay their hands on. The blacks wiped out a couple of supermarkets. They stole everything. There wasn't anything left inside. They cleaned out two or three cell phone and electronics shops, stole everything. The blacks basically destroyed every single shop down the main street of Killiney. Then the blacks started setting fire to the whites' houses. And still the police did nothing. So the blacks had torn up the main street, looted all the shops, and were now setting fire to the houses of the whites. And still the police were doing absolutely nothing. So this group of 20 to 30 farmers, with their pickup trucks and their guns, then headed off to the police station. And they surrounded the police station. And they went and they said to the cops, "Listen, these people are busy burning down houses, and we're going to start shooting them now." And the police said to them, "No, you can't shoot them. You can't shoot them unless they're attacking you." So the farmers said, "Enough is enough. These people are burning down houses, and we're going to start shooting them now." And then finally the police said, "Okay, we'll get somebody to help us." And only then did the police start requesting help from other neighboring towns and other police units. So it wasn't until the whites forced the police to do something that they finally began calling in other units, including a special riot unit from Johannesburg and other units from Klerksdorp and other places. So that's how the events ended on day one. But here's the interesting part. The police were doing absolutely nothing right throughout the day. Right until white's houses were being burned down, the police were still doing nothing all the time. And the police were stopping the whites from stopping the blacks. The police, through their actions, were actually allowing the blacks to get wilder and wilder, to commit more crimes, and to get away with so much more. I've got to tell you, when I listened to this story, and I'll jump ahead a little bit, because it ties into this. When those special forces arrived from Johannesburg, most of the special forces who came to deal with the violence on day two were white police. And those white police told the black police of Killiney, "Why did you do this? Why did you do that? You've been doing everything wrong." Let me tell you something. When I look at the events of that day and how those protesters could go and stop schools and pull black children out of the schools, how they could do all sorts of things and the police all the time doing absolutely nothing, the police allowing the blacks to become lawless, the police allowing the blacks to destroy every business in the town. I got to tell you that I think the police are also in the pay of the EFF and Malema. I think the police knew full well what was going on, and they just pretended to be dumb on that day, because there's no ways in hell that they were doing their job even close to what they should be. They were even more useless than the useless police of South Africa normally are. And that they could stand by and watch every business being torn apart and houses being burned down, without lifting a finger, without lifting a finger, and until the whites came and said to them, we're going to start killing the blacks now. I find it utterly inconceivable that these police were even attempting to do their job. I think that they were colluding with Malema's EFF. And they allowed this because Malema wants this. They wanted to tear up this town. The police knew it was going to happen, and the police protected the blacks so that they could tear up the town and start burning down the houses of the whites. I'm telling you, I've been around blacks my whole life, and I know that blacks can also play dumb. They can specifically do something spiteful, and then they say, oh no, I didn't know. And when you get to know them well enough, you'll know it's bullshit. Okay, it's pure bullshit, and they're just messing you around. They're just being spiteful, and that is clearly what's been going on here in this town. Now, just another point. South Africa used to be a country where people get things done. And when the whites ran the show, there was action. But the communists, the liberals, and the Jews introduced this culture of, oh, we're going to talk everything out. We're going to talk and we're going to solve these problems. And so here you see the police and the farmers almost now negotiating over what should the police be doing and who should do what. And this culture of talking is something they brought in when the violence started flaring. So now everybody talks, and they can talk for hours, for days, and sometimes even for weeks and months. And it's almost like fiddling while Rome is burning. This is the culture of talking that the communists, liberals, and Jews brought to South Africa. And it results in things being completely ineffective and everything getting worse. There's more to come in the dark, disgusting story of how Kulini got torn apart by a police force that clearly was colluding with a black racist politician. But it gets better still. Wait until you hear about the journalists who were colluding with the black racist politician. The whole thing, from top to bottom, front to back, was all orchestrated. I'm telling you, Julius Malema and the EFF, they were running the whole show. They had everybody on their side, and the goal was to smash the whites, and to harm the whites, and to smash people's property. And they were all in on it. So we'll be chatting again soon. See you in the next video. Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is the central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreview.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website there. There are also links to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much to the few who support me. What you're about to listen to are two messages sent out by Afrikaans women. These white women sent out these messages when their farms were under attack. And you'll hear the panic in their voices. And I will translate after the message so that you can get an idea of what they are saying. These are two separate farm attacks that occurred around Kulini. And in the second one, the woman who's calling for help, her house was burned down by the blacks shortly thereafter.
Mense, ons soek asseblief hulp op die Pitfontein pad uit. Hulle is besig om na ons plaasie toe te beweeg. Ons vra asseblief dat julle sou kom kyk. Ons het nou 'n boodskap gekry, ons moet ontruim van ons plaas af. Kom kyk net, stuur net iemand uit. Dit is op die Pitfontein pad onder deur die brug. Asseblief.
People, we are seeking help on the Pitfontein Road. They are busy moving towards our farms. We are asking you to please come and take a look. We got a message now that we must evacuate our farm. Come and take a look. Send someone out. Please send someone out. It is on the Pitfontein Road under the bridge. Please. So you could hear how scared that white woman was.
Asseblief mense, ons is van plaas Rietvlei, net hierdie ander kant komando saal. Die mense kom al nader aan ons huis. Asseblief maak vinnig, asseblief.
Please people, we are from the farm Rietvlei, just here on the side of komando saal. The people are coming towards our house. Please hurry up. Please. Now that voice message from that woman who asked them to hurry up, please. Her house was burned down shortly afterwards. The blacks were busting through, chucking in petrol bombs and so forth. So those two farm attacks occurred around Kulini. And these people had nothing to do with the black boy who was killed. I'm told that they were attacked simply because their farm was close to Kulini and the blacks weren't going to walk very far. So they just attacked the nearest farm and they just burned down the white people's houses. I think this woman's house was burned down on the second day of the violence. So that's it for this video. We'll be chatting in the next one. Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is the central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreview.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website there. There are also links to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much to the few who support me. There's no question that in 2017, a lot of big things are afoot. And since earlier in this year, we've seen a number of instances where the blacks are being stirred up. Somebody is stirring them up. And earlier this year, we saw blacks attacking and trying to set fire to 100 farms in the Cape region. And there were lots of eyewitnesses, whites who were saying that they were watching them either from their houses or even from the helicopters that were coming in to try and fight the fires. There was something big that happened in the Cape, and to this day, we still don't really know what's been going on. And now it's become more evident to me since I began getting information directly out of Kulini. It's become clear to me that the events in Kulini and Lichtenburg are definitely related. The same people are at work there. And the key character in the Kulini-Lichtenburg stuff is Julius Malema and this EFF, Economic Freedom Fighters. That name is a deceptive name. Julius Malema is a communist. He wants communism. And Julius Malema is linked to the Jews. But Julius Malema could also be working for Jacob Zuma. There's too much out there that's indicating that Julius Malema is specially protected. And I think he's getting money from multiple sources. I was told yesterday that Julius Malema has also been seen driving a Ferrari. And Julius Malema's income is 1.2 million rand a year. That's his official income. It's way above that of a member of parliament, which he also is. This guy's a member of parliament. The video footage you're about to see is a short bit that I came upon, and it was published by a group that calls itself Chipster, and you spell it C-H-I-P-S-T-A. They put out this video on the 10th of May 2017. Their description of this video reads as follows. Protesting residents in Kulini, South Africa, sing about killing the minority Boer population. Being a Boer or farmer in South Africa is the most dangerous profession in the world, with 133 per 100,000 being murdered. So Chipster says that this film footage that you see here was shot in the Kulini area in May this year, because the published date here is 10th of May. If you listen carefully, you'll hear these blacks singing, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. When blacks are gathered together like this, this is not an accident. This is not an accident. What you need to know is who is gathering these blacks together here. Who is behind this? Now, in the pictures in the video that you're looking at, you'll see that I've got pictures of Economic Freedom Front people. These are Julius Malema's people. These are just various photographs. And you can see that Julius Malema's people wear a red overall type of uniform. The red, of course, is communist. That's the communist theme from the Soviet Union, from Jewish communist Soviet Union. And they took this and they took overalls and they turned that into a sort of a cheap type of uniform, and they wear red. So this is the derivative of the hammer and sickle from the Soviet Union. And they even wear this in Parliament. Now what I've done is I've pulled out two stills from the video you're about to see. And in those two stills, I've identified a particular person. And I want you to look at this person. Watch the video. I'm going to put the video in so that it repeats a bit, so that you can watch it, and you can watch it about three times, and you can just take a good look at this video, and then you'll see this person in action. Now, whenever the blacks are busy with their nonsense, and they are doing stuff in crowds, they never do it alone. It's not spontaneous, okay? The liberals, the liars, the Jews, the blacks themselves, liars, all of them, they want you to believe that the people by themselves are doing these things. That is never the case, never. There's always somebody who's in a leadership position who's bringing the blacks together and making them do stuff. And this is clearly what's happened in Kulini and Lichtenberg. Now, in this video, which purports to come from Kulini, you will see there's a guy in the middle. You'll see these blacks are crowded around together. They're in a circle together. And in the middle are some people. And you'll see that there is a guy driving this whole thing. And the guy is in the middle, and middle slightly to the right of this video. And you'll see him jumping around, and you'll see him raising up his arm and everything. And you'll see that black guy dressed in red. He's the guy who's actually driving this whole process. There might be others, and you'll see one of the others in the middle also has a red thing on. But this particular guy, he's got a red thing on his head, and he's got a red shirt, just like Malema's people. So this could be an example of somebody related to Julius Malema is behind this kill the Boer, kill the farmer, and the subsequent violence that happened in Kulini. But of course, nobody is talking about Julius Malema stirring up race war. And there is also another group called Blackland First or something like that. They're also another troublemaking group. But in Kulini, it's the EFF that's behind the protests that are related to the court case of the supposed black killed by the whites. The black who jumped off the back of the truck and who later died in hospital. So he wasn't killed by them. He was injured from his own stupid actions. So this could be film footage showing someone from Julius Malema's group or related to Malema who's busy driving this thing and this kill the Boer, kill the farmer thing. So in the two still shots that I got there, I drew a big red arrow to point at the guy so that you can see this guy, and then you'll see him appearing in the film footage, and you'll see him jumping around, and you'll see he's the one. It's like he's the leader of this singing group, Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer. So all of the problems in Kulini and Lichtenberg, I'm telling you, it's a campaign run by Julius Malema. It looks to me like the evidence is very firm. Julius Malema is behind all the violence in that area. And my information from Kulini and Lichtenberg is that whenever Julius Malema pitches up there, all this violence breaks out shortly thereafter. So Julius Malema, a member of parliament, and who's also in alliance with the Jewish DA, the Jewish Democratic Alliance, because that is a Jewish political party, make no mistake. Despite all the black faces they've put there now, it's a Jewish creation. This Julius Malema is in with a bunch of people, including Jews, including the DA, including Zuma. And Malema got money from a very, very wealthy Jew. We'll get to that. So take a look at this film footage. And thank you very much for watching. Take care of yourselves. We'll be chatting again soon. Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is the central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreviewed.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website there. There are also links to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much to the few who support me. I'm going to show you a short video. This little video was done by some people in Kulini and uploaded. And this video is done in Afrikaans. So this white man goes to an Afrikaans woman's house And her house was the first house that was burned down in Kulini. Now when they did this, they put in some subtitles in English so that they sort of summarize what's being said. But that is not the full story. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to translate word for word what this woman says happened to her. And then you will see what a nightmare this white woman went through. This is shades of Zimbabwe, I'm telling you. Now, checking up on this woman in Kulini, I got other information that's not in this video. And I got it from somebody who knows her personally. Now, as I've said to you before, absolutely everything, and I mean everything, that the liberals and the Jews tell white people in America and Europe, every single thing that they tell them can be disproved through the experiences of whites in Africa. And this woman is no different. This woman spent 15 years of her life. She dedicated 15 years of her life to helping black children in the townships. In those same townships, she helped black children. She helped black children with after-school programs. And you'll see later she talks about the good she did for the community. What she doesn't mention is that she spent 15 years of her life doing after-school programs for those black children. I'm told that she was like a mother to them. Now her house, the house that you see there that's burned down, it's very close to the township in Kulini. And you'll see later she says she helped white kids and Indian kids and black kids, but she helped lots of black kids. Every day after school, she helped the black kids with their homework. When they were struggling with maths and science and other subjects. And not only did they burn down her house, they also set fire to her car. And you'll see that these people were so bold and brazen that they told her they wanted to use petrol from her own vehicle to burn down her house. And when she said to them that she didn't have petrol, they did threaten her with a knife, but they didn't actually attack her or cut her. So as I've said before, they started burning down whites' houses simply because they were close by. They were too lazy to go further afield. And so in this case, they went and burned down the house of a white woman who had dedicated 15 years of her life to helping black children. And her house was the first house that they burned down in Kulini. And you know, it's kind of ironic. You'll see this pattern occur again and again. In Rhodesia, we found that the Christian missionaries, who were the friendliest to the blacks, they were killed without any further ado. In fact, killing Christian missionaries was almost a sport in Rhodesia for the blacks who had been trained in their Jewish communism. And I should mention quickly that today on the social media, I saw someone passing around a picture of a very beautiful young white woman. 21 years old, very beautiful young white woman. And she was raped and murdered in South Africa. And earlier today when I spoke to Dr. Peter Hammond, he told me that in Cape Town, a beautiful white girl, 18 years old, also raped, murdered. So that's life in the wonderful Rainbow Nation. Those of you who are too young to remember, back in 1994 and the early 1990s, the liberals and Jews couldn't stop telling us how South Africa was going to be the Rainbow Nation, how this wonderful, wonderful liberal dream was going to come true. So here we are, 23 years later, and it's turning into a nightmare. But you will find that everything a Jew tells you and a liberal tells you, that it all turns into total shit later. You will find that these Jews and liberals come and they will make an argument that is the direct opposite of what your logic is telling you. Everything that is based on your logic and your experience, they'll tell you, no, it's all wrong. That the total opposite is true. And they will argue and argue with you, telling you that you must do the very opposite of that which your experience and your logic and your historical track record shows you should be doing. And you will find out that the Jews convince everybody of this, and then the whites follow that path, and then you'll see the nightmare that came from listening to the very opposite advice that your own personal experience, your own logic, and your own history has been teaching you. And you'll find that in nation after nation, the Jews have done this. Not just in South Africa. They do it everywhere. And they're busy setting up huge nightmares for the whites of North America. Huge nightmares are coming your way. You'll see. But of course, you've only heard quickly that the whites' houses were burned down. You've only heard that quickly, and you've never heard the whites tell their side of the story. So here's the first one I've come across where the white woman tells her side of the story. What exactly happened to her? And she's standing next to her house, which has been burned to the ground. And she tells the story of what she did. And by the way, compare how different this is to the Zuidlanders who say that people must run away. This woman had to be pulled out of her house by the blacks, because she wasn't going to abandon her property. And that's the way it should be. Furthermore, all white people should be standing together. And when somebody's property is in danger, we should be rallying to that person to help that person save their property. Often, this is the only thing these people have after a lifetime of work and struggle. And here the blacks come and they just burn it down and then off they go. This is the ongoing saga of South Africa, started by the communists, liberals, and Jews. They started this nonsense decades ago. And these blacks are just used to destroying people's lives. And this stuff has to be resisted. White people have to stand up for their property and for their possessions. So what this Afrikaans man, this Boer, is doing is he's interviewing this woman and asking her to tell her story. And as she tells her story, she's also breaking down and she's emotional because this is now a dreadful thing that has happened to her. I must tell you as I watch these blacks doing stuff, never imagine that these blacks are just wild and crazy, okay? As I showed you in the other video, these blacks are actually led and they have tactics and they do what they are told to do. And even though there was a crowd of 200 blacks, they were careful not to kill her. That is a very important point. That is a very important point. And much the same is true in Zimbabwe. They drove the whites off their property, but they were careful not to kill too many of them. They did kill a couple, but not many. So even though they know they can kill her, they do know that it's going to be very bad publicity for them. These blacks are fully aware of political and other ramifications. Don't be fooled by any of these things. Their leaders know full well how far they can go. And they are in there and they know how the mass media works. They know how the liberals work. And they do things up to a point. The blacks are keen, for example, to destroy property, but they've not got round to the murdering yet by a crowd and stuff like that. So that tells me that they are a little bit afraid of moving to the next level, because maybe they are afraid that if they move to the next level of killing outright, that the whites might respond by starting to kill them outright. It is extremely important, and I cannot emphasize this enough. It is extremely important when you're dealing with your enemy to understand your enemy and understand his tactics. And when he does things, which things does he do and which things does he not do? In this case, there were 200 blacks with knives right next to this woman, and they didn't lay a finger on her. So that's very important. Don't miss that point. Don't miss that point. And in this struggle between the blacks and the whites, there's a lot of time for talking and psychological warfare. They are busy checking the whites out and checking out the reactions of the whites. They are testing us. They are testing us. Don't be fooled. And that's why it's so important that whites know what to do and how to react. And whites need to have a collective response that has got to have its own psychological impact on these blacks. If you don't do this, you're going to lose. These blacks have been taught all these sneaky tricks by the communists, by the Jews. These blacks have been taught all this sneaky stuff. And they are getting very confident. But they do know that if they cross certain lines, that it could be a problem. So this woman tells you that there were 200 blacks. They were burning stuff down, breaking stuff. They had knives. They were right there by her. But they didn't lay a finger on her. Didn't lay a finger on her. They pulled her out of her house, but they didn't stab her, they didn't cut her, and they didn't kill her. So that's important. That's important. And when you are dealing with other people in a conflict situation like this, you have to assess your enemy and go in with the right psychological warfare of your own. You mustn't just give in and run away and do all these other silly things. You need to find the correct way to respond to this. And that is very important. Very important. These blacks have got tactics. And I will show you as time goes by. You'll see their tactics in action. These blacks have learned how to do teamwork, and whites need to respond with teamwork of their own. And the simplest way to do the teamwork is the blacks know how to make lots of noise, how to make threats, how to make statements, and they can see the effect of this. And whites need to come back with their own statements and their own counter moves. And there's a lot that you can do, a lot that you can do that does not require violence or physical force. But if you don't do it, you will start losing the battle. And the more I look back on the events of this year, starting with the burning down of the 100 farms in the Cape, and now all this unrest in Kulini and Lichtenburg, stoked by Julius Malema and the EFF, who are aligned to Zuma possibly, as well as to the Jewish Democratic Alliance. The more I look at this stuff, it looks to me like they're trying to evolve a set of tactics. The blacks are trying to evolve a set of tactics that they can use in the coming race war. But the blacks are trying to find ways to get the whites to give up their stuff. And the bottom line that I walk away with is that these blacks are trying to scare the whites. They're trying to scare them as much as they can in looking like they're going to be violent, but pulling back at certain points rather than edging into violence. And it shows me that the blacks themselves are wary of some of this thing, that if they push the wrong buttons, that it could have some bad outcomes for them. It looks to me like they want to scare the whites, and I've seen this too in another group's declaration called Black First Land, BFL. So Black First Land also made a lot of violent statements and stuff, and they put out a whole thing, which I'm going to show you. But there they say that the whites must collectively agree on how to give the land back. So what you've got is you've got psychological warfare, and this is old stuff, this is old hat stuff, and these blacks are trying to bring about a type of group pressure which includes fear onto the whites to make the whites surrender and give up a position that they don't need to give up. And it's to scare them. So they do all sorts of things to scare them. Because you see, once black crowds and things start killing people, there could now be other problems. So that says to me that these people are more in control than you believe. They are acting out of control, but that's a tactic. That's a tactic. They are under control and they're working according to a script, and they are watching the way the whites are reacting. And the problem is that Team White is not reacting properly. Team White is making all the wrong moves. And this is where we should be standing firm and we should be countering them. And we should be showing them some force. So let me tell you now what the message is that the woman says in Afrikaans. You will see the video after my commentary. So a white man, a Boer, asks this woman about the events of that day so that she can tell the other side of the story, because that's how it's always been. You only hear the side of the story that the liberal Jewish mass media allows you to hear. So you always get the liberal Jewish mass media filtered lie. Filtered propaganda. You don't get to hear the original true story. When you listen to what this woman has to say, you'll realize that she was an innocent victim of these events. And my one contact in Kulini told me that the reason the blacks burned down houses like hers in the beginning was simply because these were the houses closest to the town. So the blacks weren't going to go out a long distance to go to people that they had a real problem with. They just chose any house of a white nearby and just attacked them at random. And what you're dealing with here is group violence. And that's really where we're heading into. Thanks to the communists, the liberals, and the Jews, we are now getting group conflict and creating group conflict and group tension. That's a Jewish speciality. Anyhow, what we've got here is we've got blacks who've now, over the decades, learned that group behavior can get them group benefits. And they are getting into their tactics and they're into the swing of things because politics is always delivering results for them that they can't get through hard work. So politics is delivering all kinds of freebies to them that they wouldn't get otherwise through normal work. And now they are enjoying their politics at our expense. And when you're dealing with group stuff, then it doesn't matter anymore who's innocent and who's not innocent, because their group hits our group. So they just pick a target that suits them, and that's the person or persons who are going to get the beating. Whether those people were innocent or not is irrelevant, because it's a group thing now. And this means that our response must also be a group response as well. We need to defend people on our side because they are of our group. And in that way as well, it means that they can pick any target on our side, and we too can pick any target on their side. So that's how this game has to be played. And until whites can understand that teamwork and that the blacks may attack us and hit us and that life is a two-way street. But at the moment, the whites don't get it yet. They don't get it that life is a two-way street. And so it's all one-sided. All the attacks and hits are coming on us and we're just not responding properly. But in actual fact, life is a two-way street. And for every threat and piece of psychological warfare and every action of the blacks, we need to develop counter tactics. And these tactics may be verbal, they may be legal, they may be security related, and all sorts of things, but whatever happens, we need to develop responses and counter moves to their moves. Until we do that, we won't come right. At the end of this video, which comes from a tiny channel with only 32 people on it, the man who interviews this woman says that in the coming week, he'll share other information and then we'll be sharing information on how we can stand by the innocent people. But in actual fact, there are no further videos that he is present in. But there are other videos that they did put out of raw violent footage, which I've downloaded. But this man does not appear in any of the other videos. So I think that maybe they lost interest in the matter themselves. So here's a full transcript that I put together of what this woman and man say, word for word. There were a couple of words that were a bit unclear to me in the way that they spoke, like she spoke about the guy who went to get the tin of petrol and There was also a thing where she was talking about her child asking her to leave the house. And a couple of things that I was a little bit uncertain about. Also, when she mentions the animals that are burned to death, I couldn't quite make out exactly. I think it was rabbits. But anyway, 99% of this transcript is dead on. It's all the Afrikaans that is spoken. So, let's begin with it. The man says, "Good morning, people. Greetings from Kulini. It is about a week after what happened in Kulini, which we are all aware of due to the media. And we have the media's story also, but also have another side of the story too. It is, as the Englishman says, the victim's story. There wasn't just one victim. There were innocent victims in Kulini. The lady on my right is Diana. Diana, I want to say thank you very much for the honor of hearing what happened to you. I know this is not easy, but it is important that our people know what is going on. Can you tell us shortly what happened? This is your house, isn't it?" And he motions to the burnt-out hulk of the house. And the woman responds, "Yes." Man says, "Your house was burned to the ground." Woman says, "Yes." Man says, "Tell us." Woman says, "I was sitting here to protect my house during all the time. Hordes were walking up and down as they were plundering and stealing. My child asked me to leave because they want to burn down my house. I didn't want to. He said I must leave and go out of the gate. Then 150 to 200 came and surrounded me, some with knives, others with bricks and stones. They grabbed me and pulled me out. They said they are looking for petrol. I said I don't have any petrol. They sent Jan in, the man, to get a tin can. I had to stand there between them with their knives. They pushed against me. Then they wanted to take petrol out of my pickup truck in order to burn my house down." Man: "So they want petrol out of your own vehicle in order to burn down your own house?" Woman: "Yes, it's very bad. I was shaking so much, I could not take petrol out. I was very stressed." Man: "I know it's hard these days. Do you know why your house was burned down?" Woman, and she's crying, "I don't know. I did good things for the whole community. I had an after school that had whites, blacks, and Indians. I helped everyone. I have no idea why they did this." Let me just pause there. I think when she says an after school, it sounds like she was helping children with their homework. So she was dealing with children, and she was dealing with children of all races. Anyway, the man continues, "Did you lose everything, sister?" Woman: "Everything. I have no clothes, nothing. I left with only the clothes I had on." Then the two of them hug and she's crying. And after that she says, "Animals died in the fire." The man says, "Your animals?" The woman says, "Yes, two dogs, doves, birds, rabbits with babies, everything burned to death. They had no remorse for anything." Then the man says, "People, keep watching us. We will be sharing more episodes with you, and in the week we'll be sharing information with you on how we can stand by the innocent people." So that's the whole video. And like I say, I didn't see any other episodes from him even though it was 3 weeks ago. But I did get raw film footage, which they had put up, and which I'll put up in the next video. So then you can see some raw film footage from the madness of that day when the blacks went and tore up Kulini. But rest assured, all of this stuff is choreographed. The blacks have been trained. They've been motivated. The police may overtly or covertly have been allowing them to do these things because they have sympathy for the blacks. The bottom line is that race relations continue on a downhill, and the proper response for whites is to stand ever more firm. If you give in to psychological warfare and threats, it only brings more on. And in the 1990s, the liberals and the Jews were saying to us whites, when criminals come to your house, don't resist them. If they want your stuff, give them your stuff. Don't let them kill you. So the nice message was, let the criminals have your stuff, then they won't have to kill you and torture you. And how's that been working out for us? Well, crime has been terrible for the last 27 years now, and all of this giving people their stuff whenever they demand it isn't working. And it's time to return to proper historical methods. And to quote Alex Linder, you're dealing with a group issue here. And when you're dealing with a group issue, you need a group response. That's what you need. And that's what the whites are not doing. Not yet. But in Kulini, many good things happened, including the farmers going to the police and surrounding the police station, and 20 to 30 farmers went and said to them, if you don't do anything now, then we're going to start shooting these people. And only then did the police actually start doing something. But by then, the blacks had been spending the whole day tearing up the town, looting every shop and so forth. And there's some other film footage I want you to see. So here's the little video, and you'll see this Afrikaans man and this woman and her house burned to the ground. Her house was the first house that the blacks burned to the ground for no reason at all. But the blacks know their stuff. They want to use violence because they want assets. They want our stuff. They want property. They want all kinds of things that we own. This is just a continuance of Jewish communism. That's all. So here's the little video. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be chatting again soon.
Goeiemôre mense, groet julle hier in Kulini. Dit is omtrent 'n week na wat hier in Kulini gebeur het, ons almal bewus af van natuurlik in die media. En ons het die media se storie ook, maar ons het 'n ander sy van die storie ook. En dit is natuurlik, soos die Engelsman sê, die victim se stories ook. Want daar was nie net een victim nie, daar was onskuldige victims natuurlik ook in Kulini gewees. En die dame hier in my regterhand is Diana. Diana, ek wil vir jou sê baie dankie vir jou eerstens die voorreg. Om met ons te kan deel wat met jou gebeur het. Ek weet is nie makkelijk nie, maar dit is belangrijk dat ons mense ook daarom ook weet wat gaan ook net aan. Kan jy vir ons die kort in die kraag net vannacht verduidelik wat het gebeur? Hier is jou huis, nee?
Ja.
Hy is afgebrand op die grond?
Tot op die grond, ja.
Vertel sy.
Ek het hier gesit met alles in my huis beskerm vir die hele tydperk wat het was. Hoorde is het op en afgeloop soos hulle geplunder en gesteel het. My kind het gevra ek moet uitgaan, hulle gaan my huis brand, ek wou nie. Ek gesê ek moet uitgaan by die hek, toe keer ontrind, 150, 200 omsingel my. Party met messe, ander met baksteen en klippe, toe haal hulle my uit, rik my uit, en hulle sê vir my hulle is op petrol. sê vir hulle ek het geen petrol by my nie. Toe stuur hulle vir Jan in die man om 'n kannetjie te gaan haal. Ek moes daar staan tussen hulle met hulle messe. Hulle het my gestamp. Toe hy terugkom, toe wil hulle hê petrol by my eie bakkie om my eie huis te brand.
So hulle wil petrol van uit jou eie voertuig laat tap. Jou eie petrol om jou eie huis te brand.
Ja, dit is baie erg. Ek het so gebewe, ek kon nie petrol uitkry nie. Ek was vreselik gestres.
Ja, nou, ek weet dit is swaar vandag. Het jy enige aandeel? Weet jy hoekom is jou huis gebrand?
Ek het geen idee nie. Ek het net goed gedoen vir die hele gemeenskap. Ek het 'n naskool gehad van wit, swart en deur almal wat ek almal gehelp het. Ek het geen idee hoekom dit gedoen het.
Jy alles verloor, suster.
Alles. Ek het nie draadklere ekstra op my lyf gehad nie. Niks. Ek is net met die klere wat ons aan het uit ons is ons weg.
My
kinderlike diere is saam in die huis doodgebrand.
Die diere?
My diere, daar's twee honde, duiwe, voëls, patjies met kleintjies. Alles is doodgebrand, hulle het geen genade vir niks gehad nie.
Mense, hou ons dop. Ons gaan nog 'n paar episodes met julle deel. En in die week gaan ons dan met julle inligting deel hoe ons die onskuldige mense ook te hulp kan staan. We can pray, but pray without action is faith without action.